I was preaching this morning over in Pickering and mentioned three words that are really key in Christianity. They're biblical words that are foundational. And those three words are justification, sanctification, and glorification. This morning, I spoke briefly about justification and then spent most of our time on sanctification. This evening, what I'd like to do is actually focus our time on justification, to justify, and what that word means, how it's used today in common society, but then what it means biblically and what it means for us. It's a word that is quite essential to who we are as Christians. And so to justify, what we act like it means is far different from what it actually means. So when we go through life, the average person justifies themselves on a daily basis. They might even do it even more frequently. It happens all of the time. And what I mean by that is we make ourselves look or feel better about ourselves by highlighting the poor actions of someone else. We will compare ourselves. But what we'll do is we generally compare ourselves to those that have done worse than we have, because that makes us feel better about ourselves. There is always going to be someone who has done worse than us, or worse than what you can think of. You know, the easiest example is driving fast. Well, you drive over the speed limit, and guess what? You can almost always find somebody that's going faster than you are. Why? Because that's the nature of human beings. Somebody else has a faster car than you. And guess what? They put their foot on the gas and go faster. But we do, what we say is, oh, you know what? I'm not going that fast. I'm not going as fast as that guy is, so I'm okay. Even though that's still breaking the law. We've justified ourselves in our own eyes. There's a story of a man who had found out that his wife had been cheating on him multiple times over many years. And when he found that out, instead of confronting his wife, he went out and cheated on her. And he felt justified in his actions because of what his wife had done. Well, that was clearly not appropriate. He wasn't justified. He wasn't righteous. He had done wrong. Her wrong didn't make his wrong right. But that's how most of the world today sees justification. To justify ourselves is to say, you know what, I'm okay because so-and-so is worse than me. And we can have conversations at arm's length about different people that we've known. One lady we knew, she couldn't see her own sin because she was comparing herself to people that were awful. They were truly awful people. But she couldn't see her own sin. She thought she was pretty good compared to them. And she was, comparatively speaking. But she wasn't comparing herself to God's standards. It's even more problematic when each person feels that their righteousness, their good deeds, will be enough to make it to heaven. They have justified themselves so often that they feel that they're not so bad. Because there's always somebody else worse, they can't be that sinful, and God is going to let them in. We picture this all the time. And the scripture reading we had was from Luke chapter 18, and we went and read all 14 verses, but in verses 9 through 14, the Pharisee is justifying himself. Let me read it to you again. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. He was justifying himself. He had no need for God to justify him because he had already done it. He had already made himself out to be righteous in his own eyes. He did not need a Savior, did he? In his mind, he didn't need someone to save him from his sins because his sins weren't that bad. His sins weren't awful enough because he had just justified himself. He said, look, there's all sorts of people, and I thank God that I'm not as bad as they are. Those extortioners taking money from other people. Those adulterers, those publicans, just like that guy over there. I'm better than he is. Look at all that I do for God. I fast twice in the week. I pray. I give tithes. All these wonderful things that I do make me just before God. That was his mindset. He justified himself. He had not one thought about what God's standards was. About what his standard was always going to be. The publican, on the other hand, he's standing afar off. He doesn't even feel appropriate enough to approach the temple. And he says, God be merciful unto me, a sinner. He recognizes his own sinfulness. Well, who is God going to look favorably upon? The one who says, hey, I'm pretty good. I'm a blessing to God. I'm someone that God is pleased to have on his side. I am a useful tool in God's hand. Or the one that stands over here and says, God be merciful to me, a sinner. I need you to do something for me. Well, that Jesus says, this man, the publican, is the one that God was going to justify, not the other one. Because we get into our own way constantly. You can justify yourself and you're going to feel fine. You're going to feel fine about who you are and the things that you've done. But guess what? That is not God's standard. That is not who he is. You may be feeling better in this life, but when you stand before God, you're going to realize the only thing you did was fool yourself. You just fooled yourself. You have not been justified in God's eyes. It comes from a wrong view of who God is and what his justice is. You see, most people view justice from God's perspective as if there's in the United States, in front of every courthouse, there is this lady. And I don't know if she's Greek or Roman, but she's justice. And she's standing there and she has a pair of balances like you might use in science class in her hand. And she's supposed to have a blindfold over her eyes. And you're supposed to go to the courthouse recognizing that if the evidence weighs in your favor, then justice is going to win out. But if the evidence doesn't go in your favor, then you're going to be convicted. But justice is blind and the evidence is going to prove it out in the end. And most people think that God is just like that statue. That he is going to be standing there at the end of the time with his pair of scales in his hand and say, okay, what did you do that was good? And what did you do that was bad? And we're going to weigh it out. And whichever side you come on, whichever side weighs more than the other, well, then that's where you're going to go. If it weighs better that you're good, you'll go to heaven. If it weighs worse, better that you're bad, you're going to go to hell. And that's the majority of people think that way. And they're going to do things in their life to justify themselves, to make themselves look good in their own eyes, because they figure, if I look good in my eyes, then I'm going to look good in God's eyes. If other people think I'm a good person, then God must think I'm a good person. That's the way they view it. But God views our works as filthy rags. That's how he views the things that we do, other than the things that are done for Christ. So let's think about God's view, who God is, and his justice. In 1 John, we're told, this then is the message that we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. There is no darkness at all. There is no shadow of turning. There is nothing impure or improper in God. He is holy. He is right. He is just in all things. We've read recently from Isaiah 6, when Isaiah says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I also saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim, each had six wings. With twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Do you think that a God that is holy and just is going to overlook all the wrong that you do? Peter says, but is he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. So if I need to be holy to please a holy God, then if you're honest with yourself, you might run into a little bit of trouble. If you're justifying yourself, then you're okay, right? Because you think, oh, I'm good enough. But if you're honest with yourself and you see your sin, then you can understand the problem. And Paul puts it this way in Romans 2, Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? God is just, and he is holy. He is pure. He will not have sin in his presence. He will cast it out from his presence. It's not so much that you have to do so many good things to outweigh the bad things. Any bad thing, it means you're going to be cast out. You're going to be cast away. So what does it then mean for God to justify someone? What does it mean for justification, as the Bible describes it, that God is saying that you are justified? Well, you can look in a dictionary. There's a number of definitions. To prove or show to be just, right, or reasonable. Well, that doesn't apply to me, does it? Because I'm not just, right, or reasonable. I'm a sinner. Well, what about this? Absolve. Well, that's nice. Absolve me of my wrong. But see, that's not enough. That's not enough for me, because it doesn't give me anything to be right in God's eyes. It just takes away the bad stuff. But I still haven't any good stuff to put before a holy and just God. That's not enough to release from the guilt of sin and accept as righteous. You see, justification has two parts. It is the removal of my sin and the giving of a righteousness that I cannot earn. I need to be righteous before God. I can't be righteous in myself. So what I need is someone to take away the wrong, take away the sin, and give me a righteousness. Because I can't get rid of my sin, and I can't earn a righteousness before God. And so it has to be done for me. That's the definition that the Bible gives us of justification. It is to release from the guilt of sin and to give a righteousness not your own. But it needs to take place. We need to be justified. Paul says in Romans 3, Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may be guilty before God. We're all guilty, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death. James says it this way, For whosoever shall keep the whole law, and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. So you may imagine this kind of a person. I can't imagine it really after knowing my own sinfulness. But imagine someone who has lived a perfect life according to the law. Everything right except for one little thing. One little thing they did wrong. According to James, he's guilty of the whole thing. He's guilty of it all. You say, well, that doesn't seem right. Well, think of it in this way. Imagine if there's this great deep pit, hundreds of feet deep, and somehow or other, you've ended up at the bottom, and you cannot get out. The sides are smooth. There's no way for you to climb. Nothing can be done for you. Until suddenly someone comes along and gets a chain and lowers a bucket, and lowers that bucket all the way down to the bottom, and then puts a note on there and says, get into the bucket. And when I feel the weight, I will start pulling you up. And you think, I'm saved. And you get into the bucket, and they start pulling you up. And they're pulling because it's such a deep pit. And as you're going, you're wondering, I wonder if this chain is strong enough for my weight. Maybe I shouldn't have eaten too much before I fell in the pit. And as you're going, you start to see some of those links in the chain starting to stretch. Now, does it make a difference to you if one of those links break? Or if 10 of those links break? It doesn't matter, does it? Because you're still going down back into the pit. That bucket's not going to get you out because that chain is broken. And it doesn't matter how many links in the chain have broken because it's broken. That's exactly the thing that that James is saying. He says if you've offended in one point, you've offended in all. If you've done one thing, that link is broken. And it doesn't matter if it's one link, 10 links, 500 links. The law has shown you that you are broken. And you are not just before a holy God. You need to be justified. You need that justification. So then comes the question, well, how can God be just and holy and right and pure, and yet the justifier of the ungodly? How can he call me, who am clearly a sinner, just? How can he do that? Well, the Bible tells us. Romans 3 again. It says, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. That's the answer. The answer is not me working for it. The answer is not me being good. The answer is me believing in Jesus. That Jesus has taken my punishment, my death upon the cross, and given me his righteousness. He's paid the price for my sin and given me his righteousness. That's justification. So Paul says in 2 Corinthians, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So here's Paul. He says, I'm an ambassador for Christ, just like an ambassador of another nation. And he says, I've been sent to beseech you to be reconciled to God. And he says, I'm here instead of Christ, and I'm telling you, be reconciled to God. How can you be reconciled to God? Trust in Jesus Christ, because God made him to be sin for you, and he gave him your righteousness, so that he's become sin and you become righteous. That's justification. That's taking your guilt away and giving you a righteousness you cannot earn. That's exactly what it is. You, as Charles Spurgeon said it, you stand before God as Christ, because Christ stood before God as you. He took your punishment when he deserved none. He said, it's on me. The weight of your sin. That's what the cross is all about. You believe, you trust in him. And he says, I'll take your sin and I'll give you my righteousness, which you cannot earn. That's justification. You cannot accomplish it on your own. You cannot do it on your own. But what you can do is trust Jesus Christ. How do you become justified? How do you get it? Do you want justification? Do you want to be just before a holy God? Paul says in Romans 5, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Justified by faith. You're not justified by your actions. You're justified by faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. That's how you have peace with God. When the angel says to the shepherds, peace on earth, goodwill towards men, he's not talking about peace between us. He's talking about peace between God and man. He's saying, this baby that is born is going to bring peace between God and men. How? Not because he was a baby. Not because he lived as an example for us to follow. It's because he died a death as a substitutionary atonement for sinners. That's how. Trust his work upon the cross. The answer is faith. Faith in Jesus Christ, not your works. Sanctification comes after justification. It's based on justification. Sanctification is you working out what's already been worked in you. God declaring that you are righteous. Him saying it because of what Jesus did. That's justification. Then you living a life following after Jesus and the sins being removed, and you doing good works, that's sanctification, based off of justification. Not to be justified, it's you are justified. J.C. Ryle says it this way. He says, beside this faith, nothing whatever is needed for a man's justification. Beyond doubt, repentance, holiness, love, humility, prayerfulness will always be seen in the justified man. But they do not in the smallest degree justify him in the sight of God. Nothing joins a man to Christ. Nothing justifies but simple faith. To him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. That's Romans 4, 5. Let me say it again. To him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So that Paul can say, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. How can you stand before a holy God? The only way is to be justified by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 1 is a beautiful psalm. It's been a favorite of mine for many years. And in it is a bit of a clue. He says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Guess who's not going to be standing before God? The ungodly will not be standing. They will be bowing. They will be humbling themselves because they did not humble themselves in this life. The scriptures tells us in Revelation that what are the children of God doing? They are standing around the throne. They are standing with the Savior. They're standing. Why? Because they bowed the knee here. They trusted Him here as Savior. There, they're not. The ungodly will not stand in the judgment. They will not have the ability to stand because their sin is still with them. The only way for that sin to be removed is through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. One more quote from J.C. Ryle. He says about the one that has faith. He says, is he not naturally a poor, weak, erring, defective sinner? He is. None knows that better than he does himself. But notwithstanding this, he is reckoned complete, perfect, and faultless before God, for he is justified. Is he not naturally a debtor? He is. None feels that more deeply than he does himself. He owes 10,000 talents and has nothing of his own to pay. But his debts are all paid, settled, and crossed out forever, for he is justified. Is he not naturally liable to the curse of a broken law? He is. None would confess that more readily than he would himself. But the demands of the law have been fully satisfied. The claims of justice have been met to the last tittle, because he is justified. Does he not naturally deserve punishment? He does. None would acknowledge that more fully than he would himself. But the punishment has been borne. The wrath of God against sin has been made manifest. Yet he has escaped because he is justified. Does anyone who is reading this or hearing this know anything of this? Are you justified? Do you feel as if you were pardoned, forgiven, and accepted before God? Can you not draw near to him with boldness and say, thou art my Father and my friend, and I am thy reconciled child? Oh, believe me, you will never taste true peace until you are justified. Are you justified? Have your sins been forgiven? Not just the sins you had done, but the sins you do and the sins you will do. He says in Hebrews chapter 10, I don't want to misquote it. He says, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. He says, by one offering, the offering of Jesus Christ almost 2,000 years ago, he has perfected forever. He's washed all my sins away. That's the happy day. That's the happy day. He's washed them all away. He's taken them all upon the cross. He paid for every one of them. And in exchange, amazingly, he's given me his righteousness to say that I'm righteous, that I can stand before God. That is something to rejoice about. That is something to stand up and shout about. Justification is God saying to me, a sinner, you are righteous. not because of what you have done, but because of what my Son has done for you. He has paid your price. He has taken your sin, and he's given you his righteousness. And that satisfies God's justice, so that he can be just and the justifier of the ungodly, the one who believes in Jesus Christ. And so we point you to him today. Amen.